All right, this is a special meeting of the Parks Commission, and we're going to call the meeting to order. It is 6:33 p.m., April 8th, and we've just got one agenda item. Let's do a quick roll call before we get started. James Wilkie.
Amy Gascon.
Linda Yule Taylor.
Steve McMahon.
Todd Strohart.
Brooke Sharp.
Josh Winstrow.
John Solidar.
Lisa Hummel.
All right. Do I have a motion to approve the, again, the fairly short agenda, or is there anything people want to move around?
So moved.
All right. Got a movement? Got a
second?
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All right. Then we are going to move on to new business, and this is about the farmers market. Do we have an introduction from staff first, and then we're going to hear from Deb Henderson?
Yes. So, nice to meet all of you. I am Deputy City Manager Brooke Sharp, filling in for Darren Girdler. So as you all know, the Farmers Market will no longer be at the Del Mar Loop, and they approached us to secure a new location for the Farmers Market. I think they've met with you all a couple of times, and so the City Manager has strongly expressed that he wants a recommendation from you all before making a decision. So with that said, we called this special meeting. The format for it would be for Deb to make her presentation. Staff will then follow up with our concerns about the location she has selected and the alternate location that staff is recommending. And then we would answer any questions you all have and then ask you all to make a recommendation for the city manager. So with that said, I will turn it over to Deb Henderson with the U-City Farmers Market.
Thank you. And also, thank you for coming this evening. I really appreciate your time and consideration. And, you know, everybody has busy lives and making time for this. You'll notice in the, the proposal I sent, I added a few items. Once I realized after the last meeting and also listening to the audio tape, that even though we've been operating in U-City for 10 years, 11 years this year, that not everyone is familiar with our work. And there are a couple different approaches to farmers markets. Some just come in as an entity if they're not owned and operated by a city, like Ferguson is owned and operated by that city. Then it's usually a private enterprise or a nonprofit. We're a nonprofit, and they enter into, you know, negotiations with the city to bring their services to the city. Some farmers markets come in and just plop down, do their thing, and leave. I grew up with a different type of upbringing where you get involved. And much like all of you on this commission, you live in U-City, and you get involved. And, you know, you may be on one commission or more commissions. And I was at one meeting one time in the city, and somebody said, well, I want to see more faces. I see all the same faces here. But it's the same, the people that are dedicated and want to make improvements. And that's what I do for a farmer's market. But also, that's our approach to doing a farmer's market wherever we are. And we get involved. We help take care of the community. We donated our tents for Loop events. Before the band was over in Hingham Park, they were in the plaza on Del Mar. When we arrived there, they're all their chairs, and who's ever in public works is familiar with their chairs. We went over every week that they operated, pulled their chairs up for them. They set them up, and we came back. We either listened to the music, or we came back and put them away and marked them up for them. So they stored them at the market site. That's also our approach to the programs and things like that that we have. Many years of experience, my own experience with managing farmers markets and my dedication to them is in 2011-12, before I did the nonprofit, the St. Louis County Council asked me to help them draft an ordinance for farmers markets in St. Louis County. I worked 10 to 20 hours a week for nearly for a year to get this legislation passed. And we had vendors paying $400 in health department permitting fees for every farmer's market they went to in St. Louis County. One farm is paying nearly $2,000 a year in permitting fees. Now, it's structured, a full-service bakery with over 500,000 in sales is paying only about $400 a year for all their county inspections from the health department. So now, a baker can come in, $50 a year, it's based upon volume of sales. They get a permit from the health department. That permit can follow them. They go to multiple markets on $50 to different markets as long as they're not on the same day. So that's the kind of work I do. What I did, what our did and our organization did in University City, we got a grant from the Ag Department to create a program called MAPPRO, Market Assistant Training Program. For multiple years, I was always getting students that came and did community service at the market, and a couple of them did such a good job, we hired them for the summer to work at the market. Then we developed this program and partnered with the high school, and so it's a manual for working at the farmers markets. You know, if you want to, anybody wants to look at that, there's photographs in there of high school students from University City High School. Something else, here's a sample newsletter that goes out every week. We've often listed UCity in Bloom, their activities, or the Green Center has come to the market and they put up a table. We put up a table in tent for them because they're part of the community. So see that. That's just part of our, I guess, our references. And also the grants, even though we do get funding from the city for the farmers markets, it's something that each year we have to earn. The EDRSD board has invested in the market. The first year we didn't get anything for the market. We came and did it on our own. And then I heard about the EDRSD grant funding, so we applied for that because the farmers market is a very unique entity. It's a community hub. It becomes a community hub. Even if that's not the mission for farmers market, but that's our mission. And they become a place where the community comes. We've heard about the people needing more public spaces where people go and it's into the community. We've had many people that have moved to this area, and they walked in and found community, instant community, at the farmers market, like a gateway to the community. And then they made a decision to actually move here, or when they were getting married, to get their apartment here rather than somewhere else because of their initial experience. And then that initial experience led them to discover other things about University City and all that it has to offer. All of the programs and other services we get, we apply for those ourselves. They are not funded by the city. Every year we write reports. What is the city looking for in terms of community development? And that's what we do and bring to, there's a small portion of the EDRSD funding that is for like the Loop does events and other organizations does events, things like that, to bring awareness to University City, bring people to it, because it's always been an open and inviting place, and then once visitors from the outside, you never know when any one of those visitors will move here and have their children go to school here. So it's not just us or them, you know, it's you know, about the community at large.
Sorry. And turn it on if somebody's in the we're getting text messages for mayors in Chesterfield.
Mayor's in Chesterfield.
Yeah. Mayor will race there.
Okay. So the other thing, the services like the EBT grants, a couple of them we do. The Double Up Food Box offers free produce for people that use their SNAP card at the farmer's market. They get up to $25 of free produce every market they come to, every, like, in a single day. And that's quite a bit. It doubles their buying power. We donate the administration for that. We donated the administration when I work with high school students. And two young women, I actually got them into the St. Louis County, had a special work program funded through the state where they got $15 an hour for working at the farmer's market. And I went to all the meetings and helped them get into this program. So you see all the, down there, there's a list of all the other organizations we've partnered with in the community. Couple things I want to address that were mentioned previously is about walkability, and it's important. We are moving, and I've already heard from one or two farmers that they once thinking of not coming. Anytime there's a move, a business or a community, there's a loss of customers, there's a loss of visitors, there's a loss of patrons or vendors for a farmer's market. And you want to minimize that as much as possible. So one of our goals in being in the location that we're in is the proximity, actually, to Delmar. People are used to traversing that line. So we're just a little bit off of that line. Going to Delmar would further disrupt that traffic pattern. People are in habit-based. You know, they get up in the morning, they drive, they have the places we love. Some people are more adventuresome. I was the kind of person when I went to farmers markets that went to like two or three a week. But then other people, they have their home market, and that's where they go to. Whether they are walking to the neighborhood, and that's what we measure. We have residents that walk, so we want a walkable neighborhood. We have residents that drive, and yes, we also have visitors. We did two surveys. One, the second year we were here, I think, with we got a grant through the WashU Business School and the Taylor Foundation to have grad students work on a survey for us about marketing things. And they discovered at that time that people come from about a 25-mile radius. It's a pretty big radius to farmers markets. And we surveyed the people over a period of weeks where they were from. And when we first set up in University City, we did have more people from outside University City because it was a market we were moving. And now, though, we did a survey 2 years ago, and University City residents, you know, at least was 60% or more. And the people from the surrounding areas were less. So that means we have become more of a valuable service and part of the University City community. Also about walking to the neighborhood, we do have people that ride their bikes with their baskets. We have people that come with their strollers and push their kids in the strollers. We have people with running strollers. There are a couple dads where they're competing on the size of their big bicycles with two seats in the back for two kids and bags on the side for all the produce, you know, the things they buy at the market. And then other people walk, you know, from all parts of U City, maybe a mile away, some closer, just across the street kind of thing. So we want to appeal to all of those people. And that's why we think a location at this time, because we're moving after 10 years, closer that we can get to the Delmar line, the better. So I'd like to introduce you to AJ. He's going to be our operations manager this year. He has experience working with the Schlafly Brewery Company, St. Louis Brewery. events and marketing and operations. And so he and I walked off the market site with Darren a couple weeks ago and looked at where we might best place the tents, looked at possible places for a storage unit to be at least disruptive to the community, the people visiting there. And so there's a parameter here, and one of the reasons we chose it was because of accessibility all around that one area with either a paved or gravel, a paved road or gravel lot. And so our people can pull up closely, and I'll let AJ speak a couple minutes about that.
Okay. Hello, everybody.
Hello.
My name is Archer, but you can call me AJ. Friends call me AJ, so you can all call me AJ. It's good to meet you all. I am going to be the operations manager for the Midwest Association of Farmers Markets this year. Like Deb was saying at the very beginning, if you really care about St. Louis and you really care about UCity and you care about the people who live here, you've got to get involved. So I actually began as a volunteer at the market last year. Some of you may have seen me around the farmers market doing heavy lifting and solving problems and just, you know, doing, you know, whatever is needed, basically. I worked for Schlafly for about 5 years. I've been in the St. Louis craft brewery scene for 9 years total. I was general manager for my family's cafe, the Garden Cafe in Webster, for 4 years. And just last year, I stepped away from being general manager, and I decided to start volunteering around town with some people who I had met at the Schlafly Farmers Market, you know, all those years ago. So I did volunteering at the Soul Food Market in Maplewood. I volunteered out at the Point Labity Farmers Market, and I volunteered at the UCity Farmers Market. And let me tell you, the UCity Farmers Market is really, really something special. It's what's called, if anybody here has ever heard of the concept of a third place, it's kind of a really important thing in sociology and cultural, like, sociology, where humans are most satisfied, most fulfilled in their lives when they have a third place to go to. And the first place is home, and the second place is work. And so people tend to want to go to a third place. And that can look in the form of many things. It can be, you know, a church, it can be a cafe, it could be a bookstore, it can be a community center, and it could be a farmer's market. And what I have seen last year, the UCity Farmer's Market really is a third place for not just me, but for everybody who has come and be a part of it, whether you're a vendor or a customer or a family or a musician playing, you know, the music there too. So it really is an honor to be a part of it this year and to really have, you know, a much, you know, bigger role in it, in getting it off the ground and helping it transition from its old location to our new location. So we have been very, very, very thorough. We can pass around the site map if you want to. Everyone can take a look. We have been very, very, very thorough. We have done our homework. We've done multiple sidewalks in multiple different weather conditions, and we really believe that our first choice site right here in the middle of the park by the basketball courts and right by the playground, we really believe that is going to be the best site for us and for our farmers and for our customers and just everybody involved in the entire operation. From a safety standpoint, from logistics, from visibility, you can see that location from everywhere in the park, from the community, from the baseball fields, from the pavilion, from the playground, from the basketball fields. It's like a 2 minutes walk from the Heman Park Community Center, where we are doing our winter markets right now. We really, really, really believe that is going to be a really good place for us to put roots down and to really grow as a community, as a third place for, you know, for UCity and for us too. So if anybody has any questions about logistics or things like that, you can always ask me. I am more than happy to, you know, talk it over and hear people out. We really do like that location and think that it is going to be our best bet for long-term success. And we are looking for long-term, sustainable success. Like Deb was saying, if you have to, like, move an entire thing like this, you know, more than once every, like, couple of years, you are losing vendors and customers and, you know, momentum every single time you do that. So we are looking for a home that we can really put down deep roots and become a really well-established, long-term, viable, sustainable thing that can be a good part of this community. So that's our goal.
Thank you. One thing I will say as a caveat to that all farmers markets who don't own their own property, whether they're using public property or private property, get something similar to what we get with University City all these years, is a facility use agreement. And that is part of public record. I didn't bring a copy of one. I did send a copy to Darren a few weeks ago, but that could be made available to you. Everything in that facility use agreement outlines what our commitment to the city is, what we do with our trash, what we, you know, when we can set up and when we take things down. And there is a clause in there, a 30-day notice with room for negotiation, like if there's some large infraction, nothing illegal, things like that. And so that's an agreement that all markets do. And all markets, even though they become a valued part of their community, they really are on trial when they're using public or private property. Because we have to prove ourselves to the farmers that this is a good place to come and sell your produce. We have to prove ourselves to the residents that this is a community place where you're welcome. We have to prove ourselves to the city within which we operate that we're a valued part of the city and we contribute to them. And if, when we were in the loop before the pandemic, I went to 90% of the business meetings and the marketing meetings and collaborated with the other nonprofits and arts organizations. Not that we needed their approval officially to be there, it was on private property and we had the city's permission, but we wanted to be a good neighbor and be part of that business district as well. Let's see. The other thing about, one other thing is about the, it's so very important for our farmers from a logistics standpoint, and we do this over in the loop, is that they can back their vehicles right up next to their space. Now, and unload. They might be unloading 600 pounds of pumpkins. And even with that, I also want to say that the impact on what we use is minimal. They set up tables per the food code. None of the food and produce can be on the ground. And tents are set up, and they have little legs. You know, with weights, we require for safety that people get weights on their tents to participate. So even though there are those big logs surrounding the areas so people don't drive in there, the farmers can get up right next to that. And the market site, that's where we have the tents, right around the market site. So they can back up, unload, be done, move their vehicles, and we can get them in and out of there very quickly. At the other location, because it, you know, sometimes at the end we're still there cleaning up our stuff, mm-hmm. you know, our tents and tables and everything that we put up, and everybody else is gone. You know, a half hour, 45 minutes later, they're gone. One thing, because I run, we run an efficient operation. For example, Tower Grove Park, people that get there 5 in the morning and the market opens at 8. So they have a, and then some people don't get out for another 2 hours. Partly because of size, but even years ago, it's just kind of sort of like the white, it's more organized now, but kind of the days of farmers markets being sort of like the Wild West where people just pulled up and parked anywhere are gone. They have other missions because that's what people have valued over time. I think that's it. Everything else was on here. And I appreciate the timeline. I had mentioned to Brooke and the city manager, and one of the reasons they called this is we have contracts. We get contracts with the city, with all the people we have grants with, federal and state. They're time-based and they're location-based. And we also have our website application. We haven't been able to launch that yet. We usually do pre-season marketing and press releases in February at least, and we get people to fill out their applications in February. And so that has not happened yet. And it's not that we're telling the Parks Commission that you have to meet our agenda, our timeline. It's that this has been the timeline all along, and that can we work together to, you know, create a timeline that works for the park, but also for the market so that it can continue running. One thing I will say is also we're flexible about being there on a Tuesday or Wednesday. We had always been open on last 2 years we tried opening a Wednesday market. Feedback from some people, vendors and such, was that they thought Thursday might work better for them. So we put that down there, but I did mention to Linda and the other parts of the Parks Department that we could do a Wednesday. That seemed like a less busy day for that area of the park. Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Okay, so I will present staff's concerns. These are some of the concerns that were expressed to me by Darren, by Linda, myself. I've driven around as well at both locations. And so we have some concerns, but I do want to start off by saying that this isn't a question of whether the farmers market should be here or not. We want them here. They are a valued member of the community. We do fund them with EDRST. Funds each year. They receive $46,000 in EDRST funds. I point that out because when Deb mentioned it, something came to me that may also need to be considered by that board. They received EDRST funding because they were located in the Del Mar Loop, and the idea was that it would draw foot traffic to the businesses in the loop. So if they are in Heman Park, I'm not sure that they meet the purpose of the Economic Development Retail Sales Tax Fund, which is governed by state statute. The idea, because it is a nonprofit, it's not a business that pays into the tax fund. It receives it because of the effect that having it in a commercial district, drawing people, drawing foot traffic to a commercial district, and the idea being that they could go to other businesses. So if they are, if the decision is made to be in Heman Park, that could jeopardize that funding, which is something I didn't even consider until Deb mentioned it.
I didn't think of that either.
I wanted to point that out as well.
And actually our first choice was to keep it, like to move to Loop North, the street there. But right now there's lots of construction there.
Yeah.
And so it's just not possible for the city to let us use that space. So we wanted to keep it close to what people were used to. And as we mentioned to Darren when we did the site walk off, is that we're happy to have this be a trial run to see. And then in the meantime, look for something that might be a better fit if this doesn't seem like a long-term fit. We love the longevity. Everybody has
put his hand on Tony.
Everybody has a master plan, but they also have intermediate plans. The Parks Commission has a long-range master plan. Our long-range master plan is longevity in a community. But right now, we have a short-range plan that we have to meet.
I am going to ask that I be allowed to present because
I'm sorry.
Thank
I'm
you.
So sorry. Thank
okay.
You.
So that is one aspect that needs to be considered. Starting with what I actually had on the list, so the entry exit, Heman Park has one entry exit to go in where off of Midland. There's one access point going in and out, two small parking lots, various fields and whatnot. So one of the main concerns is that traffic will bottleneck at that entrance to the park, causing congestion. As you all know, and I've sent out the calendar. I sent you a full calendar for 2024 to give you an idea of all the various events that take place in the park. And then I sent you the activities and whatnot that are booked to date for 2025. So, as you know, the park is usually for individuals that are attending sport activities, baseball practice, soccer. We do pavilion rentals, so we have family reunions, we have different picnics. So you have people that come to the park that are usually staying for maybe a couple of hours. They park, their cars are stationary, and they are at the baseball field, they are at the basketball court, they are at the pavilion enjoying themselves. Including the farmers market, which Deb mentions, you will have people purchasing their items and leaving, you know, in and out. So now you have cars that are moving in and out constantly on top of the other activities that we have going on in the park. So you, and plus the loading and the unloading for the vendors and whatnot. So there's just the concern that that location, those two, there are two parking lots, and I think she took her paper. I don't have the updated one, but they're trying to be closer to the second parking lot, which is, again, right at the entrance. And so it's just a concern that that one entrance in and out gets congested between, because you now have traffic going on in the park, whereas you don't have it as much with the activities that we have going on. You have people coming, parking their cars, staying for a couple of hours, and then leaving. By contrast, CENTCOM has two points where you can enter and exit, and a much wider, broader parking lot. So the idea is that it doesn't bottleneck, it doesn't get congested. There's more space. There are two places where people can enter and exit. And if it were super busy, I mean, we could even say enter this way, exit that way. I mean, we just have a little bit more control to prevent the congestion that we think might occur at Hammond Park. And the other point that Darren and I talked about prior to him going out was that just wondering if it would be an increased risk for accidents to occur, because you now have cars moving more in and out, people buying their produce and leaving. You have kids that are in the park, so there's just a concern for that as well. So talking about parking for the guests, so the parking lot here at Centennial Commons is just, it's much larger, broader, spaced out. And there were, I know Deb has mentioned the concern about vendors being able to back up and unload from their trucks, but if you all, I mean, and we're here, you can feel free to go out and look. But for us, the idea was that we, and I spoke with the city manager to make sure it would be okay, that we would reserve these spaces on the day that we have the farmer's market, which would, it would be solely for the vendors to back their trucks up and unload. And while there may be, it's not right to their tent, depending on where they station it, it's really not that far of a walk. It's flat land, it's not a hill. So they can load up their carts or dollies or however they transport the 600 pumpkins, and they can take it to their tent.
Can I ask just one question about the parking spaces before I forget?
Yes.
There are two rows of parking on either side of the island for that parking lot.
Mm-hmm, right here?
Yeah. And so you'd be talking about, in order for a truck to actually get their trailer to back up, you'd have to reserve both rows?
Mm-hmm.
Is that the idea?
Yes. So Gregory and I, we, like, nobody really parks. I think we were even parking some of our cars over here at one point, the code inspector cars. So it would be for kind of this area, yes.
Got it. Okay.
Would be reserved for them on the Saturdays and Wednesday or Thursdays that they have the market. Another point that we wanted to make about the parking lot itself here is that this is a paved parking lot compared to a gravel slash rock parking lot at Hammond Park. So again, it's going to be a lot easier to maneuver, probably for your seniors and those guests that require assistive devices, being on a flat surface as opposed to gravel. And then it would be, it won't be messy after it rains. I mean, that was a point that I got from the city manager that, you know, let's say it rains on Friday and the Saturday market is setting up in the morning and the ground is wet. You know, if you're here, you're where they are around the fountain is wet, but transporting in the parking lot would be, it should be okay. And it was mentioned that there was a hill there, and I don't know where the hill is, so I did want to address that. There is no hill outside by the fountain where anyone would need to go up or down the hill. So activities. Both locations have activities scheduled. The plus about Centennial Commons is that the activities occur inside. So the farmer's market would have sole use of the space outside. Heman Park, you're going to have soccer, kickball. I mean, if you guys looked at the calendar, you see some of the events that we have. Picnics, kickball, baseball. You have all kinds of sporting activities that are going on, and they are outside sharing this space, mingling, if you will. So there is concern about a rogue ball. Like, let's say someone hits a great home run and the ball goes far, and or the kickball. So there's concern about the commingling of the activities, especially with children present and cars moving around more frequently at the park. Again, mm-hmm. Whereas here, people park, they come in, they enjoy the pool, they enjoy the weight room, they enjoy the amenities, but the farmer's market has sole use of the space outside. And as far as the bookings for the park, so I know it was mentioned in some of the documents that I reviewed that the farmer's market hours should be ending before activities start at Heman Park, and that's not the case. There are bookings as early as 8 a.m. in the 2024 calendar year. They have a couple of reservations that were from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. And so, of course, that brings in the concern of if it doesn't go well, if it's congested, if there are incidents, if it's too much traffic, does that jeopardize the other reservations that we've had some for years? Some of these people return to us each year to schedule activity, baseball practice, soccer practice, etc., for their teams. My son plays baseball, that's where he is now. And so they go back to the same location. And so if this does not work and it becomes chaotic, do we lose those reservations? Of course, we don't want to lose the farmer's market, but we don't want to lose our other guests that are utilizing our park either. Another item that I saw mentioned was about the pedestrian traffic and the concern that it would be decreased over here because, again, residential neighborhood over there, people can walk. And we'll concede that point. It's hard to walk across Olive. I wouldn't personally do it. So we concede that point that walkability, at least from that side of Olive, is a concern. However, we think that there's an opportunity to increase the foot traffic because you do have a new clientele over here. You're now on a major thoroughfare. Olive is a major thoroughfare. You have bus stop, you have, you know, traffic going along Olive, but then you also have activities here at Centennial Commons. So you have the summer camp that we are doing a trial for this year. You have people coming to the gym to work out. You have people that may step out there and purchase, you know, fresh produce for the week, especially people that are working out and that have their kids. So, I mean, we think that there's an opportunity for them to actually expand their customer base at this location and actually reach new people that probably would not come over to the Loop or come over to Del Mar. I mean, you have the whole Third Ward over here that probably would love to come over to Centennial Commons and frequent the farmer's market. So those are some of our concerns. Again, our job as staff is to provide you all with a recommendation, and this was not something that we could not recommend the use of Heman Park in good conscience. We have concerns about the farmer's market being located there and the effect that it could have on our other guests that use our park, and we just believe that Centennial Commons might be a better location. And so with that said, we can certainly discuss, answer any questions. I'm sure Deb can answer any questions that you all may have as well.
Can we hear from Todd and Linda first if there's any other concerns that you all have not addressed by Brooks' report?
One thing I did notice.
Todd had something.
We had proposed in the last park board meeting to move forward with a grant, a municipal grant, and it was going to be like the 26th grant was going to be on the by the basketball court and for the basketball court, pickleball court, maybe a mini pitch. That would be a construction issue that you're going to have. And then you flip over in 27, you have the playground that we're looking at. So now you have another issue where you're going to have 2 years worth of construction going on in that area.
So not this summer, but the next 2 summers.
Yeah, it would have to start. Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
So basically, that would be a major concern that I would have, construction.
Thank you. Lisa, you had a question?
Oh, I thought you were going to let Linda go first.
Did you have one? You were shaking your head. I wasn't sure.
Yeah, I was wondering about that, too. So even if it did go well this summer, then the next summer, and you were talking about not wanting to keep having to move over and over again. So my question is, I feel like you laid out what your concerns are. I did not hear what your concerns are about this location. And I know you put some of it in writing, but could you sum up, like, why is this inadequate?
So even though it's not a hill, like you think of a hill, it is up an incline. And there's no sidewalk up there. There's nothing paved. And when you're carrying 600 pounds of pumpkins on a cart, we have carts, we have pallet jack, we have things like that. The farmers bring carts and things like that.
I do help with that, but I'm just one guy, though. Yeah. I can't get all of it.
So all the farmers cart their stuff, and someone might have jams and jellies, and you have 20 boxes of jams and jellies that weigh hundreds of pounds. And yes, they all have their own carts and stuff, but any type of incline, which it is, if you stand down in the parking lot, and there's this parking lot and sidewalk, and anybody walking their dog or anything would not notice that. But if you are carting this stuff, 30 feet to the fountain,
Do you have to cart it all the way to the fountain, though?
That's what was presented to us.
If you're letting your stuff out there at the edge of the parking lot, how far do they have to go?
So we don't have a preference. They don't have
to be
around the park.
They could be closer to the parking lot. And
they could set their tents up right there.
And then people could mill around the fountain, and then the tents would be kind of on the side there so that they don't have to go as far.
Right. So we're not, it doesn't have to be around the fountain.
Okay.
We just use that as a marker,
it's a focal
if you
point.
Will. It's at the, okay. There's the fountain. The fountain has been repaired, is what I understand. So why it's being
pretty,
used.
It's a pretty spot.
Yeah, that's why it's being used as a, that's why it's being used as a focal point, just because it had been repaired. But no, we're not. This space is open. That's what it said. It's a big space.
I was noticing that.
And they are, no one else is out here.
Right.
Again, unlike the park. So really, we would give them discretion on how they set that up. If they wanted to be closer to that parking lot and kind of lie there, we would have no problem with that. No?
Why
well,
not?
What problem would that be?
The problem would be, okay, my thought process, everybody remembers where the flood cars were, right?
Yes, they're not still there.
Okay. Mine was right out there where they could butt up the curb. I do not want anybody using the horseshoe because pool's open.
Yeah.
Pool's open.
But that area that Linda's talking about.
The flat
the horseshoe
area.
Goes around here.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, that area that you pointed to earlier and said that the city manager was on board with closing
this
spot.
That
I was shocked by that because the pool will be open.
Yeah.
So the fact that you were willing to close that was surprising to me.
But the next lot over where, do you remember where the flood cars are? It's where those are,
yeah,
right there.
Yeah, right here.
That lot right there, I mean, to me, it actually provides quite a bit of space and it's completely paved.
Is it a little bit uphill?
No, not
yeah,
really.
But it's,
for drainage purposes, that's it.
Not
yeah,
really.
But it's also paved as opposed to being uphill on grass, which is a bit of difference.
And again, I think the city manager's thought is that this, yes, the pool is opening, but this is, this would be for a limited time, two days a week. That was his idea. And he's trying to
be
accommodating. He's trying to marry, what we have going on here and keep the farmer, provide an option for the farmer's market. So that's what that is. I mean,
I was going to bring it up as my point of concern was that the pool would be open and that area might be a little bit busier.
There's also
the time to pool open.
The
pool, on street
well,
parking.
That's
all along here. For people that want to walk up.
We have lap swim.
Seven to nine, and then the pool opens at noon.
The week we also have classes. We're doing toddler time again. And my thought is, it's very seldom, unless we've got something going on, and that's going to be an issue too. We have the yard sale. We have trunk or treat. You know, where this entire parking lot is used. But other than those events, normally up where the flood cars were parked, which is right where the bus stop is, that's hard, unless we've got something huge going here, that's hardly ever used. Mm-hmm. So that would be perfect parking, not only for the vendors, but for any people who would come, as well as kind of further down. That part is only really ever shut down once a year when we do the shred truck. So it's spaces out there that, again, unless we've got something huge going on, it's very seldom people park that far up there, even when the pool's open.
So the pool lap swim is 7 to 9?
7 to 9.
On a Saturday, then the pool's closed from 9 to noon?
More
I thought it
eight.
Opened earlier than noon.
For
no.
Traffic?
No? Okay.
No, we do noon, and
okay.
It's noon to 8.
Just like
okay. And it's every day.
So it's a 7 in the morning till 9 p.m. The pool's open?
Lap swim.
Okay. Okay.
No, 9 a.m.
9 a.m.
9
a.m.
Closed
for a while, and then they open again.
Oh, so I don't imagine there's that many, probably a number of people using the pool that early in the morning is nowhere near what it is in the afternoon.
I understand
what
they're
saying.
There's
a lot of
that.
Can I understand?
Nice crowd. You have a nice crowd.
Let's go ahead and keep the discussion here on topic.
So I was asking her about if there were any other concerns besides the fact that there's a bit of an incline.
Well, we need more electricity. There's one outlet there. In fact, the other site had two sections for electricity because we run extension cords, and that one had one four outlet thing, whatever it's called, mm-hmm. receptacle. And as long as it looked like there was a water where you could put up a hose to it, but I'd have to verify that that's what it was because it looked kind of old.
Is there a solution to the electricity issue?
Bring a generator.
I wasn't sure.
Oh.
When Darren talked about this site and he sent me the map, he said around the fountain specifically. And so we had not had a chance to discuss.
Well, that's a garden. I think he's talking about anywhere in this area.
Okay.
Where
parking. So I didn't know if he was talking about this parking or this parking or.
Well, she says he was talking about this parking, mm-hmm. but Linda's saying this parking would be better.
Well, let me say, this is what the city manager and I discussed today, because I wanted to be able to address the concern about being able to back up and unload, because that's a valid concern. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to be able to address that, and of course I would not make that statement without making sure that he was on board with that. So he and I discussed that. Darren and I did not. So I can't say exactly what Darren's vision was as far as the parking was concerned. I do think that, again, when he said around the fountain, because I think the electricity and water is at the
correct.
Fountain, right? So that's, you know, that is why that would probably rule out this area unless they really did do generators, because you talk about trying to stretch a cord from here. It's not to say you can't do it, but, you know, you'd be stretching a cord across the way. So, again, something else to consider. But, again, I understand the concerns about the swimming pool. We're going to have to make adjustments at either location. We're going to have to make adjustments at either location. And I just think that it's probably where it's easier to maneuver here than it is for us to maneuver at Heman Park as far as making adjustments. The construction news was also new to me. I didn't even know that you guys had that coming up in the next 2 years. Plus, again, the point that Deb mentioned about the EDR, when she mentioned the EDRST funds, this would still be considered a commercial district, and so I think we would have a case for still arguing.
Because
it's on Olive. Like, CINCOM may not be considered commercial, but Olive is considered commercial.
Yeah, right.
So I would have a stronger case for arguing for her to keep that $46,000 annually, because again, and she and I, as she mentioned, we didn't talk about it because I didn't even think about it until she said that, and I'm like, oh, that changes the purpose, because as a, they're not
part of a business
eligible for it simply because they're a nonprofit in U City. Right. They're eligible because of where they were located. So that will need to be something that we discuss.
But the other thing about economic development for a farmer's market is we bring economy. There's been statistics federally that for every dollar spent at a farmer's market, $7 gets spent in the community. So that's not just residents coming to a market and then stopping somewhere else for gas or something like that. It's also that in the broader community, when small businesses invest and spend money on each other, then the farmers who are, we have some farmers that are a little further away, but in the broader area, not affecting U City specifically, but they keep that money in the region. And so $7 is what the USDA did in a survey a number of years ago, and I think as farmers markets have grown. So from an economic development standpoint, that's it. And also a lot of small businesses, not the farmers, but they have a bigger dream of doing a brick and mortar. We've had a number of people that wanted to open a little restaurant or something, get their first start like in the Loop, but the rents were too high. In the previous administration, we were trying to figure out some locations that might be more amenable, but for a really small business, Olive wasn't, friendly to some, the smaller businesses at that time. So from an economic development standpoint, that goes with the farmers market wherever they are. So that might be another selling point. I mean, that's what we presented at our EBST proposals.
How many total vendors do you have?
We're a small market, so probably we have probably 30 vendors, but not all at one time. We're counting like the pecan grower that only comes in the fall, or the peach orchard.
So on average, at a given event,
probably 20.
Yeah.
I mean, right now we at the community center we're at about 12 until the produce comes in. And so, but a lot of, from an economic development standpoint as well, the economics of a farmer's market, a lot of people say, well, how many vendors do you have and how many foot traffic do you have, whether they want to come and do business at the farmer's market, sell their wares. I say, well, there's another question to ask, and that is how many of those people that are visiting become repeat customers? How many people, those people visiting, are spending their money on a broader, like to buy their groceries, not just to buy a pastry or a coffee or to do yoga or something? Now, farmers market, we want them to be able to do all of those things. But one thing about our mission is to emphasize the farmers and that the economy for that in a community versus simply being another event that a big market might have. And a lot of people go to it. But 2 years ago, we had two farmers going at our market and the one at Tower Grove. One of those farmers matched their sales at our market, and that market's five times our size. So they have a lot of foot traffic that old-time farmers call either walk-bys or look-and-lose. And anytime you have a big event, like in the Loop area, there might be a big event. How many of those people are going to the event for the fun thing? And you also want to know how many people return to spend their money at those shops. So from an economic development standpoint, those are the kinds of things that we also mentioned when we applied for funding for that.
So was that it for your concerns?
Oh,
that's
the concern,
what I want to hear. I feel like I heard hers, but
electric hill, but also loading and unloading, it really is a big deal for people to be close. So if this is going to be closed off for the farmers market anyway, I mean, there might be a possibility we put our tents along here if these were going to be reserved. Farmers could back up to here, and we could have some farmers here, other people spaced around there. So then, we can see if we can fit both. We do have 100-foot extension cords. There are outlets. I looked at outlets, light poles in that area when I looked. Some of them may be accessible to put a plug on them. I don't know. Sometimes they're set up that way where there's electricity for that kind of thing.
I did count your number of spaces. You have 21 spaces mm-hmm. available. Mm-hmm. So that if you have an average of 20, then anything that would bend around this west side, here it has to be about 10 to 15. Mm-hmm.
Josh,
and
did you have a question? Josh, sorry.
No, I'm okay.
You're good.
I was just going to say, some of my points were in a response to some of the concerns she mentioned. Just as I didn't point that out, but some of the response, I did respond to some of the concerns that she mentioned in her. There was a comparison document that I put in your packet. So I did want you to know that
I don't have that in front of me right now.
Yeah, so that's
why I'm just making sure I've heard both sides of what the concerns are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right. Do we feel like we've had enough discussion on it?
I just have a quick question.
Go for it.
I remember when we talked about the Heman Park location, one of the things that was discussed was about the bathroom access. Mm-hmm. The bathrooms were accessible in Heman Park. Will these bathrooms here in Centennial Commons be allowed for the market users?
Yes.
No, but it won't be the ones.
Does the public
Oh, there are bathrooms?
Yeah, there's one
right
on
there.
The side right
yeah, two.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Again, we are willing to be accommodating because we do, like I said, this is not a question about whether they stay here or not. We want the farmers market here. But we also, we have to do it in a way that we are not hurting the city at the same time. So we are willing to be as accommodating as we can at this location. And again, that is from conversations with the city manager, not Dan.
Any other questions? I feel like I have enough information. All right. Do I have a motion to approve one of the other sites?
Yeah,
for our recommendations?
I'll move to approve the site near Centennial Commons.
Okay, do I have a second for that?
Second.
All right. All those in favor of recommending to city manager and to staff the Centennial Commons site, say aye.
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 It's unanimous. So that would be our recommendation, is to use that site and obviously work with them so that we can make sure that we are giving them access. I mean, there's two fairly large spaces that I think the size truck we're talking about, we can find a way to get them in there.
Mm-hmm.
I will also point out, you're not ever going to be able to make a right turn on Midland out of Shaftesbury.
Oh, I see.
You can't. You just simply can't. So if they had a truck with a trailer,
uh-huh.
You'd get stuck. They'd have to make a left turn, and that would be even more complicated. If you have Olive to get onto, much more safe in terms of getting trucks in and out of there than you might have been thinking.
May I ask another question? So I said about we have storage, a couple of storage pods, and ideally we would have those someplace where they could butt up to a sidewalk right by the site. One thing about the company we want to use, it's called Units. They have the ability to lift up the storage unit and lift it over. So it could be set on grass so it doesn't take up parking areas. And then, of course, when we leave, we could take that out, help grow the grass back for you or whatever.
It would just be for the summer time period?
Well, we do. That would have to be discussed. We go from April through November, and it's a pretty long time period. So if we could leave them there in the meantime, rather than hauling everything off to a storage unit and then moving the pods again, that would be great for us. Less moving of things, less disruption, but whether you would allow that to happen or not.
I think that's something that staff's going to have to talk about.
I was going to say, so I did speak with the city manager about that today, and he will make a decision on how that will work. He said he reserved that for once he had a recommendation of the location. So he has stated his intent to allow the storage pods. Just not sure exactly how or where. And then there will be some agreements that will need to be executed between us and the farmers market, of course, to release us from any liability because this is, you know, storing items on our property. So, but he's aware of the request for the storage pods. That's why I requested the picture and the dimensions earlier today to share with him. So he will make the decision on, now that he knows the recommended location, he will make the decision on how we'll handle the storage pods.
With that, do I have a motion to adjourn the meeting?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All right, you're adjourned. Thank you, everybody.